Hi, Namaste, what's up, geeks? This is episode 111 of your favorite Desi Tech podcast. Yes, sir, we are back from our break and we missed you. And on our other podcast, Attention Plus discusses Indian matchmaking with our guests Leela and Priyanka. And Binge On will be back too this week with an episode on world cinema. So head over to fourspire.net to know more and subscribe. That's the number 4spire.net. Also, while we were on a break, Attention Plus was nominated for the podcast awards under the News and Politics category. The only Indian podcast in this category, I might add. And we should know the results later this week. Anyway, fingers crossed. But as the cliche goes, it's an honor just to be nominated. Or so the losers say. Anyway, let me also welcome back Vijay, who joins us again. Hi, Vijay.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Good to be back.
Vijay, a month in tech world. Of course, we've been on a break for slightly longer than a month, but a lot has happened. So let's quickly get over to broken news and catch up. And in broken news, of course, this the first announcement got quite a bit of press, which honestly I found, let me get to it. I don't know if you followed all the stories. I mean, Reliance Jio, they put on their Steve Jobs hat and he had his kids also come on stage. I mean, they've been doing that for the past couple of years where Jio comes on stage. I mean, they have this annual event. This is actually the Reliance shareholder annual general meeting. It's not like it's a tech event or something. And they make grandiose announcements. I remember a couple of years back, when we were hosting Talking Tech podcast, we had covered one of these Jio meet, you know, the Jio announcements, and they said, you know, they're going to have a pay-per-view, first day, first show releases, video conferencing at home, and all kinds of stuff. And I mean, this would be the ideal time to have a first day, first show movies, you know, pay-per-view and all that, right? And I've not seen any of the announcements there actually, you know, make it to the market. And this time they announced Jio Meet, Jio Glass and Jio TV Plus. Did you follow any of this at all?
I have been following the Jio Meet because that came out a bit earlier before even this whole event took place. It got famous because of its, screen by screen copy of Zoom. But other than that, I didn't, get much news about the Jio Glass and Jio TV Plus. But yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of them will be vaporware, but let's see.
I know, of course, you have a lot of 3D renders, and the mainstream Indian press is still not clued in on all this, right? So they see these 3D renders and they think, yeah, the product is ready. And of course, you also had an on-stage demo. Let's talk about Jio Meet, okay? Jio Meet, of course, just shortly before recording, I thought, a month ago when this was announced, I tried Jio Meet on the web. The app was, of course, available. So this is not vaporware. There was no web client, but just today I registered, and of course, even the web client is an exact ripoff of Zoom, which we used to record this podcast. I actually thought of using Jio Meet, and I signed up for it too. It doesn't have a native recording facility, so I didn't want to take a chance also. So I'll definitely give it a try. If it has a native recording and if it's, who knows, maybe it might be a good option.
Yeah, we can always use alternative options instead of just depending on one or two.
Coming to the next one, I mean, I'll hold on to Jio Glass, but there is also this Jio TV Plus, which I'm assuming is not vaporware, but they said that basically Jio TV Plus would be a service which includes every streaming service imaginable. I mean, in a single login, it brings you Netflix, Amazon. Then what else do we have? What a Hotstar, Disney Plus, you name it, even the minor ones like Balaji, which I am big deal, big whoop. All of them are available under a single login, I'm not sure what this means because they don't release the pricing. They have not done that. But does this excite you? What are the possibilities here? Because honestly, if it's just a question of a login, that's not a big exciting thing if I have to pay for each one of them.
Right. And I think, I mean, I guess, you know, going by their theme of basically just providing, you know, screen by screen copies of existing services, I think this might be, you know, something that they're trying to, you know, copy the Apple TV Plus.
Right.
So this where, and Apple TV itself, not just the Apple TV Plus, but Apple TV itself, where they had a similar thing roll out, I think a couple of seasons ago, and where you know, they aggregate all the different service providers, integrate them into one single, you know, interface, and you can get recommendations from that. I mean, you can see shows that are from different services getting all, you know, coming together on a single recommendations page and all that. And where you don't have to remember to sign into each one. All you use your Apple ID and everything else happens behind the scenes. So I think they're trying to replicate that, but let's see if they are successful.
This is so, from what I understand, in Apple TV in India has, I think, just a couple of channels, so to speak. I think there's something for Nat Geo and something else. Not the wide array which you have in the US. But from what you say, it looks more like it'll be my Android TV home screen, where it just shows, you know, it collects Netflix or Amazon and just shows me recommendations across everything. But I do have to pay for them separately.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they are doing it. But yes, I mean, I think that that's what they mean.
Anyway, of course, the thing which got the most press was Geo Glass. And if you have not seen this, you should check out, YouTube is full of clips from the, you know, the so-called live demo, where this guy wears a glass. I mean, it's like, I don't know, standard run-of-the-mill things, which, you know, somebody would be selling on during the traffic signal. And it's got a tiny little camera in it. And the moment he wears it, of course, on the screen, they projected how it was, and you had a virtual avatar of one of the Ambani kids, and the other Ambani kid who was not on a glass, she appeared on screen, and it was like you could interact in the virtual world, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, this was, entire thing was staged. This wasn't live, I'm guessing. And did you see this? Did you even see the video?
No, I have been meaning to check that out, but somehow never got around to it. But yeah, I did. I really want to, you know, see that event and understand what they are trying to market or as a future product. I hope, at least, you know, the actual product lives up to at least 50% of what they are saying it will. So let's see. I also read about, from the same announcement, I think that Jio said that they also have 5G hardware that they can sell, which is, so that, you know, as part of this whole movement across countries where they are trying to move away from Chinese 5G products. I think Jio was saying that they can provide 5G equipment. And I was really pleasantly surprised by that because 5G is like cutting edge, and I'm not sure how they got around all the various, you know, minefield of patents that are in, you know, Qualcomm and Huawei. I think pretty much they hold all the relevant, you know, patents in this technology, and it will be, interesting to see how Jio is working around that.
And not to mention, they really lack the hardware chops. So maybe it's just a bunch of IP that they might have got. But anyway, like I said, most of this was reported by the mainstream press, who don't have the chops for technology reporting. So we don't know the details yet. And if it looks like I'm panning on Reliance, on Jio a lot, honestly, I'm happy to see an Indian company at least, you know, have big keynotes and make technology announcements. I'm just hoping that, you know, these are not vaporware like Vijay said, and we actually get to see this product, which as of now, they don't have a good track record. Anyway, coming around to somebody who does have a decent track record of hardware is Samsung, whose Unpacked event should be out in a couple of days, probably around the time when you're listening to this podcast. It might have already happened. And Vijay, this is the second Unpacked, right? I mean, they have the one at the beginning of the year where they do the Galaxy S, and one towards the second half of the year around now when they do the Galaxy Note. And this is the Galaxy Note one.
So this is what is used to announce the next Note version. And they usually throw in some add-on stuff that,
right,
that accessories and such. So,
I don't want to go into the details because I'm sure we'll have to discuss this next week once it's announced. But basically, we expect to see a Galaxy Gear watch. It's still called Gear, right? And it runs Tizen. That, the Tab S7, Galaxy Buds, the Fold 2 and Note 20. Fold 2 is the landscape horizontal folding, and what's the other one? The vertical folding one? Flip. Galaxy Flip.
Yeah.
So this is the, the notebook style folding phone, whereas the other one which comes with S, earlier this year, there was a vertical flip phone. Anyway, we'll certainly keep track of it, and we'll update you next week on what was launched. And of course, which brings us to OnePlus Nord, which, unless you've been living in under a rock, you probably know all about. So, Vijay, OnePlus, I don't know if whether it's just in India, but apart from Apple, I think the only other, I wouldn't even put Samsung in this category. And forget Google or anyone else. But apart from Apple, the only other phone manufacturer who manages to garner mainstream attention is OnePlus. Nobody else seems to do that in India. How about the US? Do they get a lot of press? Do they get mainstream press?
Yeah, I mean, I think even in US, they are pretty much in the radar for most of the mainstream technology media. And the great thing is, they managed to do it without too much. There is hardly any TV. In fact, I have not seen a single TV ad or anything. It is mostly just, Twitter and all the social media where, OnePlus drums up all the attention, and then they also, get all these technology reviewers in the US to get the early copies of the hardware and start reviewing it. Even though it's officially not yet launched in the US, all the US reviewers got a piece of the hardware in advance and were able to review it. So OnePlus is very social media savvy, and they may make the full use of that.
Of course, and back in the days when people used to go to movie theaters and all, in India at least, OnePlus used to have a lot of movie ads, and I don't know how much they pay for it, but they were the only guys who used to get their ads in after the national anthem played. So you used to have all the ads, then of course, then the movie trailers come in, then the national anthem plays, and then just before the movie starts, you have the OnePlus ad with, I think last time it was Amitabh Bachchan, and they must have paid through the nose for getting the last minute ad placement. But it's not just, they're not just running on attention. I mean, the product is good. Even the Nord has got rave reviews.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be a really, amazing value, and has a potential of, cannibalizing their OnePlus 8 and 8 Pro sales.
Honestly, for sure. Yeah.
I think it's a good trend. I think Apple, unexpectedly, Apple was the one who started this trend of going back to basics and coming up with budget handsets that don't have too many compromises. OnePlus has been quick to steal the thunder from Apple, and let's hope that Google manages to steal some thunder from OnePlus in the upcoming 4A.
That was a nice segue, because speaking of the 4A, we've been talking about it since January. And in the meantime, it was, I think, first initially there were leaks, and then it was supposed to come out during Google I/O, which was, I think, May, if I remember. So yeah, it happened in May, and which itself would have been a kind of a late launch because the chipset came out in December. So it would have been 6 months. It would have been a 6 month old chipset by then. But first of all, Google I/O got canceled, and then Apple releases the iPhone SE. Then July, then they had, it was supposed to happen during the beta show, which again got canceled because of the US riots, the Black Lives Matter protests. And it's August now, and we've also, like we just spoke, we had the OnePlus Nord. And so the OnePlus Nord costs around 28,000, and the iPhone SE is 10,000 bucks more than that. It's around 40,000, I think. So for a Pixel 4a to be even remotely exciting, what would you price it at?
Yeah, for India, definitely it has to be, you know, between 20 to 25 is what I would expect in order for even people to consider buying it. If they come in over the OnePlus Nord's price, then they have basically lost it. It has to be, you know, at least a couple of thousand cheaper than the cheapest model of OnePlus Nord. I think OnePlus Nord starts at 22K, but that model is yet to be launched. It is, yes, I think, coming up in September. So I would expect Pixel to be either at 22K or maybe at 20, preferably, which would really give it a lot of attention.
But here's the thing. I mean, 2 months before the Nord came out, OnePlus had all, I mean, everyone knew that something like this was coming out. And like we said, OnePlus has this amazing way of just sucking up all the attention. In fact, one of the things which MKBHD, Marcus Brownlee, what he said is, when OnePlus gave him the review unit, usually you have an embargo, right? Where the company says, okay, here's the phone, here's the device, and you can't release your reviews since till so-and-so date. Usually that's the launch date.
Right.
So he said OnePlus not did two things. They said there are two embargoes, one for the first look, hands-on or whatever you call it, and one for the actual review. So yeah. And the first look and early, you know, the first look or early reviews or whatever, hands-on as it was called, you can't use the word review, was on the day of the launch. And then they had a 2 or 3 week embargo for the full reviews. And he said this is genius because it ensured that, you know, there was a flooding of YouTube videos which didn't have the word review, which was just hands-on and first impressions and whatever. And then just as it dies down, in 3 weeks, again, you'll have the review flood of videos and articles with the reviews, which is great. I mean, it'll probably come out around the time when the Pixel 4a, if it ever launches, comes out.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I mean, that is very clever arrangement by OnePlus. And yep. And I think, I mean, Pixel has a advantage of, you know, being a better known brand than OnePlus, in the sense that, you know, of course, OnePlus has a lot of, awareness in India, but in US, it is still a very niche brand. I mean, general public doesn't even know that such a brand exists. And for them, you know, Google is always a much easier brand to recognize than OnePlus. So I think Google still has a good chance to steal some thunder from OnePlus. But in India, yes, they have their work cut out for them. I mean, they really need to go aggressive on the pricing if they want to get any attention from people.
Especially because the Pixel 4 didn't release. So this would be their first release since the Pixel 3a, which didn't do well because it was priced ridiculously. Anyway, moving on, there was also this other small announcement which actually got me, I think it should have got more attention, which was Qualcomm announcing the Quick Charge 5 specs. And they said that phones by year end, probably the next generation Snapdragon, they will have Quick Charge 5. And the thing is similar. I mean, people who have OnePlus devices or Oppos or who are used to this ultra fast warp charge or dash charge or whatever, they'll identify with this, and this is there's an improvement even over that, because if I remember, OnePlus charge uses a 30 watt charging and takes about 15 minutes for half 50%. Here Qualcomm is talking about 100 watt charging capacity, where it will be almost 70% done in 15 minutes. How cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way this is improving every few months, I think wireless charging will become basically, obsolete, because, you know, if you can just get to 100% in 15 minutes, there's no point of trickle charging on wireless, unless wireless can actually match the same kind of charging speeds, which could be possible the way OnePlus has done it and with the OnePlus 8 and 8 Pro. But yeah, this is like, I think if this comes out, I think it's going to really put a dent into the wireless charging market.
Quite possible. In fact, I've not put it in the show notes, but even Xiaomi released this wireless charger in India, which is also a third party fast charge, a 30 watt wireless charging charging station. Costing around 2,000, which is amazing value for money, till you realize that it doesn't include the plug. So you need to buy a fast charging plug, which I'm guessing costs about $1,000 more. So you need to buy a quick charge plug. Then you can, I think it's 30 watts, if I remember right. Anyway,
no.
And finally, you have the last story about the Xbox game
show. Yeah, so around 10 days back, Microsoft held this event that they called the Xbox Games Showcase. And, the gist of it was, I mean, they announced a bunch of titles that are coming up in the near future. Many of them are like, launch titles for the new console, like Xbox Series X. But all of them pretty much are guaranteed to run on everything starting from the Xbox One all the way up to the Series X. So you will definitely see some, reduction in graphics quality across those consoles, naturally, because of the different abilities of features and abilities of each console. But their idea is to have like a, basically, once you have buy a game, right, you can be guaranteed that it will run for everything right from Xbox One to the latest generation. But that being the good part of it, the bad part of it is that, once you have such a generic target that, everything has to run on every console, I think that's where it kind of, they kind of lost track of focusing on their upcoming console. So it turned out like they had a gameplay demo of their flagship title, Halo Infinite, and the graphics in that were, though definitely good, but nothing that basically showed off what they were hyping up for their Series X, saying that Series X is like a graphics monster and it can basically even do better than PS5 in terms of the graphics capabilities. But none of it was on show in that in the demos that they had shown. Other sad thing was that most of those showcase videos, almost like I think 90% of those showcase videos were just cutscenes and not actual gameplay. And even in spite of that, where typically when you are showing cutscenes, you can basically amp up the whole graphics quality to whatever you want because it's not interactive. But in spite of that, none of those cutscenes were particularly, they didn't look particularly amazing or anything that seemed to show the capabilities of Series X. So I think overall it was it was a good show for people who are just, owners of existing Xbox consoles. I think they would probably have had a good time looking at all those upcoming games. But for people who were, like me, who are basically looking at this show as maybe a way to nail down their choice between whether to go for a Xbox Series X or a PS5, I think it just made a PS5 look a whole lot more attractive.
Absolutely.
And having said that, I hope Microsoft is going to basically come up with some more better or more polished demos sometime before the console launch. So looking forward to that.
Absolutely. So on this note, let's take a quick commercial break. And on the other end, we'll have some more stuff to talk about. Welcome back. And today's feature story looks at Windows 10. And the reason we're looking at Windows 10 is it's because this has the OS has completed 5 years of its existence. And when it released, Microsoft said this is going to be the last version of Windows. And many of us didn't really know what they were talking about. I remember there were even some articles saying that Microsoft has a new code name, some kind of new operating system which will replace Windows, which, I mean, honestly was never going to happen. Why would they do something that drastic, especially change the brand name and all that? But what Microsoft meant at that time was that they would basically adopt the Apple tactic, and where Apple has had OS 10 and they've had numerous minor iterations of it, because essentially they realized, okay, we've got a very solid base. We don't need to make drastic changes. And Microsoft felt the same way about Windows 10 too, especially after the disastrous Windows 8. So on a typical schedule, Vijay, when back in the days when we had, every 2 years or something, Microsoft used to have a version of Windows, right? We had.
Typically it used to be every other year, and then you would have like a bug fix release or stable release.
Service pack.
A service pack release after like 6 months or so after the launch.
And of course, XP unfortunately got more than its due of life. But after that, Vista came, which unfortunately got panned a lot. It wasn't half as bad as people made it out to be. Windows 7 was very well received. Then Windows 8 was panned. Windows 8.1 was kind of like a bug fix to kind of keep people happy. But Windows 10, by and large, has been well received, right? I mean, do you know anyone who doesn't like Windows 10 apart from people?
No, I think people, so far, nobody has given any explicit bad reviews of Windows 10. I mean, of course, there are always things that people complain about Windows, but it's not.
Yeah,
there's nothing there as such. I think it's largely stable, and I would say it was probably the best Windows yet. I mean, to borrow a typical line from
Apple,
it is the best Windows.
So, the Windows 10, which we have right now, is not exactly the version of Windows 10 that shipped. We have had Microsoft is, in fact, moving quite fast. And some even say that they're probably moving a bit faster than they should, where every year we are having two feature updates for Windows. And we have had every now and then, small features being added. The most, probably the biggest or the most recent one was the entire change in Microsoft Edge, moving from its old version to the Chrome-based Edge. And of course, even apart from that, you've had small changes. So what I wanted to ask you is, in a typical cycle over this 5 years, we would have ideally had Windows 12. But currently, when you look at Windows 10, does it look dated? Do you find that no, it still looks spiffy and it looks fine?
Yeah, I think Windows as such, I think doesn't. I agree with Microsoft completely that they don't really need to do any wholesale changes, because the focus anyway has moved to now the cloud, and most of the people just spend 90%, including myself, 90% of their time on the browser. So as long as you have a OS that kind of, lets the app or lets the browser take center stage and just, merges into the background and, doesn't make any, doesn't give you any problems. I think that's all people expect from the OS. I mean, now, unless you're a hardcore developer who's still developing like system software and all that, I don't think the OS really is a part of your day-to-day work. I mean, it's just something that's in the background. And I think Windows 10 does exceptionally well at that. I would, I even I mean, and it has been that way, I think, at least for all the bad reviews of Windows 8 and all that. I mean, I think it was still something that was a major improvement over the previous Windows, especially in terms of how fast it used to boot up, and then the UI just felt much more fluid than the older one. But I think Windows 10 has kind of struck the right balance, and I think they just need to keep polishing all the small things that they still need to take care of, like things that abruptly take you to old Windows 7 UI in some of the settings pages and all that. I think they just need to continue to chip away in all those unpolished parts of the OS, and that's all they need to do.
And you would think that 5 years would have been more than enough for Microsoft to have actually got Windows 10 completely into the new design. But like you said, we still have settings, and we still have control panel, one which is in the modern, I don't know what design Microsoft calls it. They used to call it Metro, then they call it modern. Then, of course, Microsoft also spoke about fluent or fluid. What is it?
Fluent, yeah. The fluent
design, none of which actually rolled out completely.
Yeah, so now the current Windows is actually has the old Windows 7 UI in some portions, then the Windows 8 and the 8.1 UI in a majority of the C screens, and then you have like little bits and pieces of the new Fluent thing creeping in once in a while. I think mainly in the Office apps and all that, which of course are not actually part of the OS, but pretty much if you have Windows, you are only reason you're using Windows is if you also have Office. So I think it's a very confusing mix of user interfaces, which I hope they clean up. And I agree that 5 years is like a high time that they should have already been done with that. But Microsoft's development cycle always seems to be glacial in speed.
I mean, Paul Thurrott, who's very well known analyst for Microsoft especially, he in fact showed some screenshots in the current version of Windows 10, which also had some UI elements dating back to Windows XP. So he essentially said, I forgot what was the name for the Windows XP design. So you had Windows XP, you had a little bit of, of course, we still have Windows 7 design elements. We have Windows 10 design elements, and we have small bits of Fluent. So you have four design languages all in one language. Oh, sorry, all in one operating system.
Yeah.
And, he also gave the example of how Apple rolled out dark mode, where they took, of course, it came out well after Windows 10 has dark mode. But when Apple rolled it out, all the applications, everything system-wide, everything had, it was applicable everywhere. Whereas here, it's still bits and pieces, especially something like Chrome, for example, just doesn't respect what system settings I have. Whereas Apple does a much better job of ensuring that everything is tied together well, which I guess is a very familiar theme.
I think that's the problem with Windows, because they end up having so much of backward compatibility, because again, they are the preferred OS in all the enterprises. So, and that is where that demand comes, that, apps that were developed like maybe 10 years or 20 years back, they expect that app to run without any errors, even in the latest Windows. And because of that, they keep supporting all the older APIs, and there are developers who are just lazy to move to a newer API when that older API is still supported. So they just don't bother updating their apps, and it's like a vicious circle that keeps on going.
I just wish that, right now, since Microsoft does release these feature packs or whatever they call it, I think one spring update, and then they have a fall update. It comes twice a year. Instead of doing that, and see, one of the things is, I would say, okay, do it once a year. Have and also make it an event. I mean, the marketing is really missing, because if you ask anyone who's using, let's say, Mac or versus somebody using Windows, people, whenever there's a new version of Mac OS, Apple lets you know, okay, there's a new version of Mac OS, and then, you know, these are the features. Whereas here it just comes as a Windows update, and there's hardly any press coverage. Even somebody like you and I who track this, you actually have to, you know, read some article to find out, okay, what's the latest update called? Has it rolled out to me, and what are the features? Unless it's something really drastic. For example, I think we had covered in this feature which came a few, I even lost track, where Windows had focus mode, which I really liked because it stopped all those notifications popping up. And I've had focus mode on since then, basically turning off all my Windows notifications. And it's been that way ever since. So I just wish Microsoft did more of a better job in selling it and, you know, packaging these updates, maybe giving it a brand name, Windows 10, I don't know, like how... what does they stopped doing cats, Apple. What do they do now? They have places in California, is that it?
Yeah, they are landmarks in California. And I think they are stepping away from that thing. And now they are anyway bumping up the Mac OS to 11 from 10.
Right. Oh, they are? One. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the next, the one where they support all the ARM, their ARM chips is basically Mac OS 11. So, I mean, they consider their OS update to be such a big deal that they decide to finally make a move from Mac OS X to 11.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. And meanwhile, yeah, of course, we've got, again, N number of SKUs of Windows 10. I think there's something called Windows 10X. There's something called Windows 10S, which my friend of mine bought a laptop with Windows 10S. And apparently that's a version of Windows which can only run applications which you download from the store. And it became...
Yeah, I think the 10S was all... that has been in the market for almost like, I think, a couple of years now. It was basically intended for lower powered hardware, like budget PCs and laptops where...
And the Windows Store is a joke. I mean, it doesn't have many of Microsoft's own applications.
Yeah, but I think they want to kind of ensure that you are not installing something which your hardware is not capable of running properly. So by restricting it there, they hope to see, that you can only install stuff that will run reliably on your limited hardware. But the problem is, it's not something that you do on the Windows side. I mean, people put up with those kind of restrictions if you are somebody like Apple, but people will not take that kind of thing from Microsoft. So eventually they have to give in, and when you buy such a PC which comes with Windows 10S, I think you have a period of like say 30 days, yes, or something
where you can upgrade it
to the regular Windows 10 Home version.
Okay, before we wrap up, if you had one wish for Windows 10, just one thing that they could fix, what would you want?
To me, it's like all the small discrepancies in the UI. I think if they just clean that up and make everything look consistent, I think that would probably be sufficient for me.
Same here, absolutely. Otherwise, like I said, Windows 10 has held up very well. I'm very happy with the OS. So good going for Microsoft, which brings us to the end, and where we have, of course, geek versus geek. So I'm interested in your app. Why don't you go first?
Okay. Yeah, this is an app called the Access Dots. So basically, I think this is most useful for people who are on an Android version that is older than Android 10. I think with Android 10, Android came up with this whole privacy-focused feature where if an app was using your camera or your microphone, then you would get a notification, notification that you really cannot get rid of unless you turn off all notifications of that type. Basically, that notification would stay there as long as your app was still active in the memory, and it would tell you that, it will give you the app name and say that this app is using your microphone or this app is currently using your camera. But that feature didn't exist in the earlier versions of Android, and this app is something that helps address that need. And what it does is it plugs into your it gets installed as an accessibility app on your phone, and once you grant it that accessibility app status, then it monitors the microphone and camera usage, and it gives you an option to show like two different colored dots on the top or bottom part of your screen to indicate, you know, you can select one color for microphone and another color for camera, and it will show you those two dots or one dot, whichever is applicable, whenever currently active app is either using, you know, microphone or the camera. So you don't have to swipe through your notification to see that if you are on Android 10 or higher, or you now have the ability to monitor it even on older Android versions. And that really helps, you know, to know that, you know, some there is no rogue app or thing that is using your recording audio or recording video when you are not expecting it to. So I found that this is very useful, even though my phone is on the latest Android version, but I still found it useful because, first of all, you still have to swipe through the notification to see that information. And the other thing is, you know, that it takes up one whole space of a notification, which I felt it was a waste of space. So I basically turned off that notification feature, and then I used this access.app to show me an indicator. However, it's not all rosy. This app has a few bugs, and based on the feedback I've seen in the App Store, it's like more to do with the way Android manages the background apps, and the developer is still working through some of the kinks. So occasionally you might see that app will suddenly get inactive and you will not see the dots show up anymore. But then once you go into the app, just basically open up the app again, and you will be able to get the dots back. So once in a while that app will get killed when it's in the background, but I think that developer is still working on fixing those things, but it's still I think a good option to have. And important thing is this app that's made in India, so that is another highlight.
Nirbhar app.
Yeah.
Make in India. Okay, it should be very good, especially for privacy conscious people, and if you're on, like Vijay said, older versions of Android. So we'll have a link to that on the show notes. My app pick is actually a game, and it's not just one game. It's 50 or I think hundreds of games. So the app is called FanCade, FANCADE, and it's something really unique. So you if you are not really sure what kind of game you want to play, I think the best thing to do is install FanCade. You start it and it's like a virtual console within it. And I don't mean like a Nintendo simulator or something. It's got various types of games. It's got runners, it's got puzzle games, side scrollers, all kinds of games. And there are new ones added literally every day. So every day they have a small new game. But here's the best part. It's a ecosystem in itself. So you can also use FanCade to create your own game. So if you're playing some game and let's say you feel that, hey, you know what? I would have liked this game to be slightly different, and here's how. There's an option for you to just create your own game. You can use one of the existing games as a template and make small minor modifications. You can create your own game from scratch within the FanCade framework. And best of all, the entire thing is offline. And it's free, no annoying nagware or anything. It's beautiful. And if you don't like one particular game within it, just keep exploring. I'm sure you'll find two or three mini games that really appeal to you. They say that they have thousands of levels, and there are also these old quest type games which I'm a big fan of. I have to admit I've not played one on this yet. So the app is also available on both Android and iOS. And it's also available on the iPad. So do check it out. It's a very good way for you to, probably waste a lot of time in trying and explore a lot of these games, and maybe even try your hand at creating your own games. So that's FanCade. Oh,
cool. I think it might be a good option even for kids to kind of design their own stuff and explore.
Yes, yes. The graphics are, of course, you know, 8-bitty, cutesy graphics. So they can...
Might make it more attractive to fans of Minecraft.
And for me, it does. I think the appeal is in the old 8-bit Mario type of thing. So you should give it a chance, especially it looks beautiful on an iPad. The iPad app is amazing. But it is available on both Android and iOS. So give it a chance. And we'll have a link to both of these apps right there in the show notes, which brings us to the end of our long episode. We've had a lot of catching up to do. So we hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. Anything else? Next episode, we should probably, hopefully, talk about Samsung and maybe Pixel 4a.
Yeah. So, I think we should have some good fodder for the next episode.
If you were to place your bets, would you say that the next episode, by then, the Pixel 4a would release finally?
I think so. I think since the official announcement has come out from Google, I hope they don't do a last minute cancellation. Let's see.
I hope so too. So thanks for listening. And until next time, mask up and wash your hands and stay home. Bye-bye.